NFL Live, presented by BetMGM. Hey, today's the day we hear from the NFL. You're going to see everyone at the podiums across the league, and you see some of them right there. You'll hear from Patrick Mahomes in about 7 minutes. Bill Belichick and the Patriots have the Cowboys this week. What's going on in Denver? Look at Sean Payton down there in the bottom right. We'll hear from him as well. Welcome to NFL Live. Glad to have you with us. Dan Orlovsky is here. Andrew Hawkins. Dan's got a computer out like he's doing some research or some work or something. Actually, what's going on there?
I'm actually watching Cowboys Run Zone right now.
Will you actually focus on the show instead?
I could do two things at once.
Even that, he watches every play.
See, yeah. You put him on notice, right?
I want you to know. I back him up.
Marcus Spears and Adam Schefter are joining us as well. There's some urgent news to get to today, so let's dive in with our top stories. We start with Adam there. What's going on with Joe Burrow, Adam?
Well, Laura, as you know from being in Cincinnati on Monday night, he did not suffer a setback to that calf injury. He's going to have to continue to play through that, but that's the plan. The fact that he made it through on Monday night, he'll want to make it through right now. Full participation and walkthrough today, which is another encouraging sign for the Bengals quarterback. He's not going to let that calf injury slow him down. As for the Colts quarterback, Anthony Richardson, he was at practice today, which is a sign that he should be ready to go, but he remains in concussion protocol right now after missing last week's game due to being in concussion protocol. But the fact that he's out there tells you that the Colts are preparing to get him back this week as soon as he can clear protocol, whenever that does happen. And there are a number of notable injuries from the Packers-Lions game on Thursday night. I think the key things to note here are that Aaron Jones and Christian Watson are on track to be back in the lineup for Green Bay. The Lions are hoping to get back their running back, David Montgomery. There are some key offensive linemen as well for the Green Bay Packers and their status for Thursday night. But think about this. The Bears are 0-3. The Vikings are 0-3. This becomes a very significant early season NFC matchup between two teams that'll vie for the division title.
Yeah, those injuries, I think, are going to play a big part in this. We'll keep a close eye on the line. But last time I checked, the Lions were 1.5-point favorites on the road. So, Hawk, Jordan Love, though, has been looking great. And now, as you just heard Adam talking about, looks like he's getting Aaron Jones, Christian Watson back. What does that do for this Packers offense?
It takes Jordan Love's game to the next level. Jordan Love is essentially a rookie, right? Yes, he's been in the league a couple of years. But as Dan and Marcus will tell you, there are some things you just can't learn in a meeting room. You can actually have to learn by experiencing it in a game. You have to be down 17-0 in a fourth and come back to know that you're capable of doing it. And now what you're giving him is the two young quarterback most friendly aspects of an offense. You're giving him a deep threat down the field in Christian Watson, where defenses have to respect it, so it opens up the pass game. And you're also giving him easy bake offense in Aaron Jones, because if you put him wide and he's on a linebacker, every time, no matter what the play call is, that's a matchup that you feel good about. You can get him the ball in space, no risk throws that turn into big plays. And for a young quarterback, those are his best friends.
Wait, bake offense.
Yeah, I'm also going to raise my seat. I'm tired of I'm tired of being in public and everyone going, oh, I didn't know you were that tall. They think I'm short.
Well, now you made us
now,
look
ever
short.
Since you became NFL
it.
Live.
It has to, we're this heads supposed
wrong.
To be at the same level.
Ever since you came on NFL Live, people think I'm short.
Okay,
welcome
to
my life, Dan.
I think this game comes down to the rookie tight ends. Luke Musgrave and Sam Laporta, and a little bit for different reasons, okay? The Lions are going to have to shut down Musgrave's speed. And it's not just vertical speed. It is separation speed, getting out of those cuts. And then the Packers are going to have to handle Laporta's physicality. He is incredibly physical, both in the run game and when he gets the ball in his hand. So it's going to be what defense. Both of these teams are relatively talented on the perimeter, especially with their youth. But they utilize the tight end in such a big deal. And you got to be very specific with how you're going to try to handle them. If I was Detroit, Sam Laporta is going to be a huge part of this football game in the run game. And if I was Green Bay, I'm going to force you guys defensively in Detroit without a C.J. Gardner-Johnson to shut down Musgrave's vertical speed. I think the rookie tight ends have tremendous impact on how this game goes.
One, let's be excited that this matchup is happening again after the Detroit Lions had nothing to play for and knocked the Green Bay Packers out of the playoffs. Right. Let's not forget that. It's some bad blood brewing. And I'm going to go to the other side of the ball. Rashawn Gary is coming off a game with 3 sacks. Aiden Hutchinson is pressuring and getting after quarterbacks as well, which I think is going to be another huge thing, especially with David Bakhtiari potentially coming back and Elton Jenkins, those guys being healthy. This is a battle of the line of scrimmage, fellas. Kerry Clark in the middle of that defensive line as well. And what we talk about with both of these teams, as much as we talk about the ability to push the ball downfield and the weapons that they have outside, This battle in the trenches is going to be a fun one to watch when you talk about styles and the way that they like to play. I'm interested in seeing these two edge rushers go off, but I'm also interested to see which offensive line or defensive line can have a huge impact on this game and how these quarterbacks play as well.
Mark, it's not often that you sit here, at least for me, and say Detroit's defensive line is going to have to handle Detroit's offensive line is going to have to handle a defensive line that can kind of go punch for punch with them.
Yes.
Yeah. But the way that Gary played last week, the way that Lucas Van Ness, the rookie out of Iowa, is playing, Kenny Clark, to your point, like, this is a big-time challenge. And in many ways for me, it's really like the first measuring stick for the Lions.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, week one was great to go on the road and win. We all know what that game was like.
The
Packers have owned this division forever, and I know Detroit kind of had a say at the end of last year. Minnesota won that division. This is really the first time you got to go to Lambeau and finally you feel like you have the better football team, and certainly on the line of scrimmage. Like, this is when Detroit kind of starts to take control of the division.
All right, Detroit, let's see what you got. Rashawn Gary, by the way, leading the NFL in pressure percentage since the start of last season.
The man going crazy.
Yeah, he is. Okay, new on NFL Live, here's Patrick Mahomes on receiver Rashee Rice.
You see in this offense, there's so much freedom to kind of throttle and set down versus come out of breaks. And I think just that little stuff like that, you saw he did a good job of that this last week in those zone coverages, catching the ball, getting vertical and stuff like that. I thought on the third down one, he maybe could have hit it in a little bit faster, but that's the stuff that we're working on. And you see Travis do it so well, and you've seen guys over in the past do it so well. You just have to keep working on that stuff because they have to be seeing the same thing you're seeing out there on the field.
So – the two things that I'm starting to see in their pass game that I'm really liking, in relation specifically to Rashee Rice, he's really starting to understand, and you might have a better perspective than me, Hawk, the sitting in zones.
Yep.
You know, there's such a they don't see a lot of man coverage, Kansas City, but you got to be so nuanced in understanding when to sit and be boring in zones, specifically when you put Travis and him together in like a stack or a slot. He's getting a great understanding of, you know, where to sit, where to burst through zones. Hmm. We've been begging for that number two guy behind MVS. I think Rashee's starting to show that, and I think the intelligence is a big reason why.
You're absolutely right, and that was the thing about Rice coming into the draft. He is a smart player, and even if you're a smart player, when you come to the league, it is different than college football.
Yeah.
So it takes a couple of weeks, a little bit of while, even longer, to start to diagnose, see coverages, know where to sit, understand and be on the same page with the speed of the league. But Rashee Rice, I actually had him comp to one of our own, Harry Douglas, who was an extremely smart player, could go down the field in the seam, but also had a great feel for those zones, like you said.
And like catch and go, right?
Yep,
like catch and go. Split
absolutely.
And get five instead of get 10 instead of getting five.
Yep.
Man,
absolutely.
I don't know. Do the Chiefs need more offensive weapons? Come on. All right, we're just getting started here on NFL Live. Zeke returns to Dallas for the first time since being released in the offseason. But hear why Marcus says the biggest storyline will be the mismatch in the trenches. Pay attention to that. Plus, tons of moments that'll have you scratching your head. We try to make sense of the puzzling, wacky sound bites from this past week.
Wet. Stomach hurting a little bit. Oh, man. I don't even know what to say. Yeah, I do gotta ice up. You trying to stop me from having kids in the future.
Be careful where you hit people, Dan. You know?
It's the NFL, man. You can hit anywhere.
Yeah, but, like, don't do that, right?
Don't do that.
Get weird, Max. Get weird here, bro.
We'll see you in a minute.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations,
and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, and in part by Ace, the helpful place. Glad you're with us today. Hey, let's talk Cowboys-Patriots. Y'all know Bill Belichick spending some extra time with Zeke Elliott this week, looking for any knowledge he may have about his former Dallas team signals. Some have wondered how the Cowboys would look if Zeke was still there. Here's Jerry Jones on the Cowboys missing Zeke in the red zone.
We think of physical on short yardage and probably should, but I do not think that physicalness from the running back is contributing to us not getting in the end zone.
Yeah, Zeke's been great. Comes to work every day, ready to go. Tries to do what you ask. That's all you can ask for.
Love it. Okay, moments ago, Ezekiel Elliott was asked about what his emotions will be returning to Dallas. Our Mike Reese tweeted out his response. Zeke said, quote, "I'm going to try to keep it even keel. I think in any game, how big or how small, you got to keep your emotions here. You have to stay neutral and realize you have one job to do." Hey, Zeke has always been good in pass protection, and the Patriots will need that on Sunday as the Cowboys have a clear advantage in the trenches, okay? Led by Micah Parsons, the Cowboys rank second in the NFL in pass rush win rate. They'll look to take advantage of a Patriots offensive line that has been the worst pass blocking unit in the NFL this season. Big old mismatch right there. And Dan, that doesn't look promising for the Patriots, but you are encouraged by their offense.
I am. I honestly think if this game was New England, I would take the Patriots to win the football game. But being on the road with Dallas, I know that's a tough challenge. I think the Dallas defense is going to have to handle New England's offense. Number one, the 13 personnel that New England has started to use a lot of. One back, three tight ends. A couple reasons why. They have started to run the football on the perimeter, specifically with Ezekiel Elliott, really well in it. The motion that they've used to get those tight ends like Mike Gesicki as some of those lead blockers is a big deal. Their play action game out of that 13 personnel has finally started to develop. I think the ball is going to come out of Mac Jones's hands real quickly. We know that Dallas loves to play man coverage, right? Josh Dobbs last week, 14 of 17 versus man when he's playing against man coverage. Mac and his ball placement and his anticipation versus man coverage is a big deal. So I understand there's a difference when it comes to the line of scrimmage, but Mac gets the ball out before guys are open so well. I think that's an advantage for this offense, and I think handling that 13 personnel coming off of what Arizona did. You guys saw the touchscreen that Marcus did yesterday.
Yeah.
Coming off of what Arizona did offensively in that same personnel grouping, I think it's a challenge for Dallas' defense.
You're right. I love what they've done with the tight end group. I think it's one of the best groups in the league. But I need more out of the wide receivers.
Amen.
And I was one of the people that wasn't as down on this receiving group as some people were coming into the season. But they have to get on the same page with Mac Jones. Those tight ends in the intermediary routes, yes, he's very good. But there are a lot of throws that Mac missed down the field in this game. And yeah, there were elements, but we spent all week talking about Zach Wilson and how he can't do it. If you take away the Pharaoh Brown touchdown that was a bust by that secondary, he has the same exact game that Zach Wilson had in this game. He missed some big throws down the field, and some of it was him, some of it was the receivers. They have to separate. My guy Juju in the slot, he's one. Like, I need you to separate in man-to-man and get throws down the field.
I need those receivers to make a play on the football. I mean, I think separate fight, fair, but fight, I think it's fair fight, to say right fight, now they don't fight, they aren't separators, fight, right?
And man-to-man, fight, no, fight, but also.
So Mac's trying to throw them open.
Fight, yeah, but he had guys beat, NFL beat. Step in front of them, and he's back shouldering it. Those are big plays that you can't take off the board. They will not be a real threat if they cannot push the ball down the field. They have to get on the same page.
I agree with that.
America, y'all just saw what it's like on the sideline when quarterbacks and wide receivers start fighting each other.
I was in the middle of it, too. It was fun.
I know. Here's the thing for me, and as much as you guys are talking about the skill players, this offensive line for Dallas concerns me when it comes to availability. When you start talking about Zach Martin, Baez, the center, and also Tyron Smith, who were all Tyron was addressed, but he didn't play, and you're missing your all-pro guard. The one thing and the strength, I believe, of this New England football team is the fact that they are very stout against the run game, and Matthew Judon and Uche and company can get after your quarterback. So, for me, that's a big deal in this particular game, especially when you start talking about the style in which New England plays. Your possessions are going to be limited if you're the Dallas Cowboys, because they just, to you guys' point, it's not an air it out, score really quickly, and you got an opportunity to go back and forth. So this defensive line for the New England Patriots, I'm sure, I've been in meeting rooms like this. If these guys are unavailable, they are going to take it upon themselves to make sure that they win this game, because they're working at a deficit. This one's going to be a lot harder, I believe, than a lot of people think. Dallas should win the game, but this will be a very tough game if you don't have those three guys I mentioned on that offensive line back.
Yeah, the Cowboys are 7-point favorite in this matchup. They look to win their 10th straight game at home. Guys, new on NFL Live, let's talk about the Eagles. Nick Sirianni asked about the name of the Eagles' very successful quarterback sneak play.
You guys implemented the tush push, and I know that so much has been made of it. Did you have any?
Is that what we're calling it?
I guess.
Okay.
Brotherly shove.
Brotherly shove.
Can we just go with that?
Whatever comes up first in the search engine.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I do too.
Who came up with that?
I don't know. I found it online.
Brotherly shove.
As a defensive player, I call it pain in the ass is what I call it, because you can't stop it. Like, the problem is this, man. Like, and I'm not one of them. I'm not on this hill about get rid of the play. This game has been about finding advantages since the beginning of time. The offense has an advantage, in particular the Philadelphia Eagles. The only thing you can do is start making sure that these offensive linemen pay for what they're doing over and over again if you get to that point. And then make them think about how they want to actually block this for Jalen Hurts. But as far as removing the play out of the game, let's stop, man. Because I'm telling you right now, if it's a defensive play we can find that you can't stop us from getting your quarterback, we're going to use it every damn time.
Hey, just brotherly shove him right back, okay? I think I'm done on that one, Biz.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah.
Boom!
It's Whiteout Wednesday! What's coming up, Hawk?
Hey, we got the touchscreen guy, Dan Olofsky, coming over. We linking up again to talk about some wideouts, baby.
Oh, hit them all with the West Coast.
We got that W going.
Hey. Wideout Wednesday from W's. Ohio.
The West Coast of Ohio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
To infinity and beyond. The first Toy Story Fun Day Football is coming to ESPN Plus. It's the NFL like you've never seen it before. Coming in week 4. The Falcons and Jaguars matchup live from London will also be in Andy's room, as both teams transform into the world of Pixar's Toy Story. Oh, it's a very real game, but Toy Story theme. Every run, pass, and score, live and unpredictable. Plus, a special halftime show featuring Duke Kaboom performing an incredible motorcycle jump. Buzz, Woody, and all their friends at Disney, Pixar, ESPN, and the NFL invite you to watch Toy Story Fun Day Football between the Falcons and Jaguars, Sunday, October 1st at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN+.
Ooh, that's going to be fun. If you're looking for the traditional broadcast for that game, also exclusively on ESPN+, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, Falcons-Jags at Wembley Stadium. Dan is on the call with me, Chris Fowler, Lewis Riddick. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Let's get some more top stories with Adam Schefter, starting with some news just now in Green Bay. What more can you tell us, Adam?
Yeah, Laura, moments ago, the Green Bay Packers ruled out a couple of notable offensive linemen for Thursday night's big game. David Bakhtiari, Elgton Jenkins, not going to play. Devondre Campbell, also not going to play for the Green Bay Packers. The Detroit Lions said that David Montgomery is questionable for tomorrow night, as is Christian Watson and Aaron Jones, but it sounds like those three offensive specialists are in line to play. We'll see how that shakes out. One player not in line to play on Sunday is the Saints quarterback Derek Carr, who did not participate in practice today. He's dealing with a sprained AC joint. I'm told that it would be a surprise if he were able to play on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which sets up Jameis Winston to start against his former team in New Orleans. Tampa versus New Orleans will it looking like Jameis Winston at quarterback. Jaylen Waddle back at practice today for the Miami Dolphins after missing last week's game due to being in concussion protocol. And it certainly seems like Waddle is tracking to be available and ready to play for Sunday's massive game in Buffalo against the Bills in a game that will obviously have a big say on who wins the AFC East. Another player back at practice today, the Panthers quarterback Bryce Young, missed last week's game with a sprained ankle, a full participant today at practice, which tells you that he should be ready to go this upcoming weekend for the Carolina Panthers against the Minnesota Vikings. And we saw that huge NBA trade today between Portland, Phoenix, and Milwaukee. Too bad the NFL doesn't make trades like this. Let's go back to Halloween 1987, the last notable three-way trade with NFL teams involving Eric Dickerson. Take a look at that trade with so many picks, so many players involved. It sent Eric Dickerson from the Rams to the Colts. The Bills got Cornelius Bennett. There were a whole plethora of picks that were exchanged. We wish the NFL had the type of trades like that, three-way trades with lots of compensation being exchanged that Woj got the pleasure and honor of reporting on earlier today. But that was the last big three-way trade in the NFL, Laura.
I mean, Woj is a GOAT. So are you, Adam. I can hear the excitement in your voice, and it's making me wish that we would have these things happen more often. You would love it. I could just see you juggling all of it. It'd be a blast.
We all would.
All right, coming up next, let's talk C.J. Stroud. He's coming off an impressive performance against the Jags last week. Our guys are going to tell you what makes this quarterback special, along with the talent surrounding him. Don't miss this. You're watching NFL Live, presented by BetMGM. We'll be right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes.
On the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
When it's grim, be the grim reaper.
Are you watering and are you fertilizing every day?
So when it's time to pop, it'll pop.
I feel like a mermaid and everybody else is like dogs.
You gotta see if they can swim. I'm gonna take them on the island.
We need volunteers, not hostages.
You're arguing with your girl and she says, I'm sorry. Like, all right, let's watch a movie now. We good.
You know.
Oh, this might be my favorite thing every week. Lost in Translation's back. Let's translate some sound from the week. First, here's Micah Parsons on if Tyreek Hill tried to set the edge on him.
Hey, I already said it once, and I said on social media, my baby girl's getting cheetah print for Christmas. She's getting cheetah print. Come over here to my site, and my baby girl's getting cheetah print. But all love, my guy.
Marcus, what?
Don't play with him. You know him and Tyreek been going back and forth. And Micah is saying, don't come down here fooling with these big boys, man. I'm going to have that jersey on my back from role grading you and give it to my baby girl. That's what that means. I like it, Micah. Tell them boys to stay out there on that edge, them dudes like Hawk Nymph.
Oh, yeah.
I had to set the edge on Mario Williams. It was not fun.
I want to see that. Oh, Tyreek's been talking this week. He said some other weird things. All right, here's Lamar Jackson on a questionable no call at the end of the Colts-Ravens game.
Play late. Say Flowers is there. A lot of people thought she would have passed interference. What did you see on that play?
Man, we had plenty of opportunities in the game to finish strong, you know, but it is what it is. Live to fight another day.
He was like, oh, let me put the brakes on what I really wanted to say.
Translation, do you have eyes? Did they all of a sudden change the rules of NFL football that allow defenders to tackle receivers with the ball in the air? No, interesting. They didn't. Then it should have been a new set of downs. It should have set up, if you don't give a damn, we don't give a Justin Tucker for a redemption game-winning field goal. Ooh! And we should be 3-0.
I got what you did there.
You threw that?
We're picking up what you're putting down.
I'm not going to repeat it.
Here's Mike Tomlin. He makes a weekly appearance on this segment on facing the Texans this week.
They don't kick their own butt. And they're growing every tape you put on in all three phases of the game.
Dan?
This is the first time I've heard they don't kick their own butt. I kind of have the same philosophy when I eat a gallon of goldfish. I don't beat myself up over it. I think he's trying to say, man, like, this is a well-coached football team under D'Amico Ryans, and even though they're young, they're starting to get better week by week by week, and they're not going to be necessarily the pushover that maybe people thought they were going to be since they had the early draft pick. But I don't know if I've ever heard they don't kick their own butt, but I definitely will steal it from Coach Tomlin.
Do you have, like, water when you're eating that much goldfish?
I actually haven't ate goldfish since the beginning of September. It's like dry September. You know, some people do that. I'm doing it from goldfish.
Okay, so October 1st, you're just down in a gallon of goldfish? All right, we'll pay attention to that. We'll tell you when
this
your
man,
suit
this
looks
man
extra
legit
tight.
A baby. This man is legit a baby.
He's so weird. Back to the Texans. Stroud has had a historic start to his calories. NFL career. He's thrown for over 900 yards with 4 touchdowns and hasn't thrown a single interception. Stroud, the first quarterback in NFL history to have 900 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions in his first 3 career starts. It's been really fun to watch. And Dan, what have you seen from C.J. Stroud?
That subtle, sudden pocket movement that takes me from here to there and very little wasted time. To watch him do that against a pretty good Jacksonville defense and throw it the way he threw it, it's pretty, man.
I mean, their offense is of that Shanahan tree. Like, they run that style
of
offense.
Yeah. What makes Bobby Slowick, play caller.
C.J. Stroud, his number one receiver is the open receiver. And that's the most important aspect of that. And then you look at the receivers he has and how he is spreading the ball out. You need 3 kind of receivers in this offense. Number one, you need an up-top threat. That's Tank Dell. You put it up top, he is going to make sure you stretch the defense. Number two, you need a guy who can move the sticks. And that's what Robert Woods does. If you need a guy on 3rd and 5, can you run a slant and get a first down? Can you run a stop and just beat a guy man-to-man and make sure you catch the football? And then you look at how they use Nico Collins. He's a versatile guy. He can go short. He can go long. He's a volume guy. Like, he's the one that's running the routes. And again, this is a young team, but they are playing like veterans.
Real quick, you said his number one receiver is the open guy. Explain that to me in your, like, what do you mean by that?
Because it's so easy for young quarterbacks to just lock onto a guy that they think is going to help them get an easy reception or force it to certain areas. You can look at C.J. Stroud and the way he plays. He is reading.
Getting through the progression.
He is processing. Okay. If it's the running back, he gets it. If it's the tight end, he gets it. Yep. If it's Nico, if it's Tank. And, again, for a young quarterback, him processing like that It sets the pace for the whole offense.
He put on a clinic when it came through getting through progressions.
Absolutely.
Were you the Nico versatile role when you played in that type of offense?
I kind
of
jumped around. We actually had Josh Gordon, then he got suspended, so I had to go into like the number one receiver. I did. I was number one receiver in the league, Dan.
Let's go.
I have no doubts about you.
2014 led the Browns in receiving.
I
know you're looking at me
give
crazy.
Him, give
I'm
him
under
his
5'10",
flowers.
Dan.
No.
Show love, bro.
Get it done. Swag, what are you seeing with this defense, though?
Defense, offense, I like the conversation that D.O. and Hawk just had about C.J. Stroud, but it's the young talent for me on this football team. When you think about all of the things that they've been able to accomplish, and this is not going to be about wins for the Houston Texans. This is going to be about a progression every single week. And when you think about them taking all of these young guys in the draft and obviously trading up for Will Anderson, taking C.J. Stroud early, don't forget a guy that y'all didn't mention on the offensive side, John Metchie, was considered a high-level receiver and a guy that could potentially turn into a number one. C.J. walked in, too, with a really good offensive line. Remember, Damian Pierce was almost a 1,000-yard rusher last year on this football team. Houston played teams tough. And this organization coming out of what we would call turmoil, this was not a place that was looked on well. And when they hired D'Amico Ryans, I said, this may be a move to kind of set a different standard and a different trend. And I go back to what I saw them like in the locker room after the win against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is a culture shift. Those are the type of things that matter. And when you got young players, like he said in that presser and like he was opening up, the ability to continue to build their confidence and let them know that they are working the right way in order to try to become better players, it's going to go a long way for this football team. And the other thing is this. They are going to be a tough out week in and week out because D'Amico Ryans is that guy. He was that guy when he played, and he's going to have that same mentality, and his team is going to play with that same mentality. I'm happy for the Houston Texans, man, especially these young players, to have him as a head coach.
Great hire with D'Amico Ryans. The other thing, too, Dan brought this up. We got to let it go, but Dan brought this up earlier today. May end up being one of the best, if not the best, draft class of this past draft when you look at what
100%.
The Texans have done.
No doubt.
We'll see. It's still early. But all right, up next, two of the hottest offenses face off in this AFC East division matchup this week. Dan tells us exactly how the Bills can get the best of this Dolphins defense. That's coming your way next. Don't miss it. You're watching NFL Live, presented by BetMGM.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
NFL Live is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Hey, this week our Monday Night Football matchup features DK Metcalf and the Seahawks squaring off against Daniel Jones and the Giants at MetLife Stadium. NFL Live will be there as well on site.
Oh, 80 let's go.
On ESPN, ESPN Deportes, with Peyton and Eli once again on ESPN2. New on NFL Live here today, Sean Payton on what a win would mean for the Broncos this weekend.
It would mean a lot, you know. Then I could answer the fun questions. we need a win, you know, and Chicago does too. They do too. So, and that's why I think, you know, we got to win these days, Wednesday, Thursday. We got to, you know, I thought today was a really, really good practice. We have to follow that up tomorrow, but a win would mean a lot for us right now.
Guys, think about this for a second, and I was thinking about this when Sean was talking, all right? We got the Denver Broncos coming off of giving 70 points. They lost 70-20 against the Miami Dolphins, and it would be worse to lose to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second in the week and what Sean Payton is saying right now. This is a lose-your-team football game when it comes to this one. Right. We know the offense is prolific in Miami. You don't want to give up 70 points, but you could very well make an argument for losing that game. You lose this one. Yep. You got to you are doing patchwork the rest of the year.
Yep. And you can make an argument, but I want to point out that Sean Payton and his coaching staff need a win, because when you lose by 50 points and let somebody put 70 on you, yeah, there's good teams and there's bad teams in the league. I've been a part of perennial playoff teams. I've been a part of 1-15 teams. The disparity is not that big. You got outcoached in every phase of the game, yep, at every position. So this reflects poorly on your staff the most.
Man. All right, guys. A game I have circled on Sunday, Dolphins and Bills. Lightning fast, record-setting Dolphins offense and a Bills team that found its stride after a mistake-filled week one. Watch out for both these teams when it comes to the AFC East. This matchup could matter a lot more later in the season. Here's what Josh Allen and Mike McDaniel are saying today.
The in-division rivalry. You always want to win your in-division games. You know, it's a team that we play twice a year. But for us, I know it means a lot for the fans and their fans, our fans, whatever it means for standings, this and that. You know, it's, at the end of the day, it's week four. They all mean the same for us.
Probably under-talked about is an opponent of this caliber coming off an, I mean, 9-sack, 5-turnover day. If you need to be motivated for a game like this, check your pulse, or maybe consider a career adjustment.
Okay, love it. All right, let's
go. I don't know what he said, check your pulse, but he's just monitoring.
I know, he's like, maybe check, yeah. I don't know, his pulse is fine. So it sounded like, according to Adam Schefter, Jalen Waddle trending toward potentially playing on Sunday. Ooh. But Marcus, when you talk about this Bills offense, or this Bills defense, excuse me, right, how can they slow down the Dolphins offense?
It's going to be very difficult to slow down the Miami Dolphins offense. As good as the Bills are, you got to cut the head of the snake off, and that's Tua. You got to affect him more than just thinking you're going to sack him, because he's getting the ball out of his hands so fast, and the rhythm and the timing with this football team. I focus more on the other side of the ball now, because I don't think you line up and stop the Miami Dolphins. I think when Vic Fangio is in these two high safety looks that he does, you have to be willing to dink and dunk and take the run game when it's available. We know that the Bills are going to want to be explosive. We know that you have to score points offensively. But this is what you have to do in order to beat this football team. I'm telling you now, it's limiting possessions for the Miami Dolphins more than just thinking your defense going to line up and you going to play defense for a large majority of this game. And the last thing, Josh Allen, remember you are playing against the Miami defense and not Tua and this offense. Mm. All right? That's a big deal going into this game, because Josh Allen is the guy that is going to want to outplay the quarterback. That's just who he is. And he has the talent to do it, but keep it in perspective when you get in on this field for this matchup.
I completely disagree with that philosophy. The Buffalo Bills have to go score 35 points this game to win.
They can do that.
But not dinking and dunking, not trying to just be ball control offense.
All right, go three and out six times in a row.
This is
go three and out six times in a row.
They're not gonna go three and out six times in a row.
Don't do it.
Here's my pushback to you. Since Tua and Mike McDaniel have been together, when Tua starts, they average 27 a game. The only team that averages more is the Kansas City Chiefs. You're not beating the Chiefs dinking and dunking down the field. You gotta go score points. The only team that we've seen try to go do that, the Buffalo Bills. And they're capable of doing it. I think Buffalo needs to go on the attack. Week one, Josh played awful, and I said, you got to grow up. Because to win that game, you got to play a certain way. This week, man, Buffalo needs to be the number one play-action pass offense in the NFL. I think that they are. Ever since they decided in week two to go with a little bit heavier personnel and to play play-action game, Josh Allen is 20 of 24 for 230 yards and 2 touchdowns. They have been so much more explosive on offense. You are not beating Miami thinking you're going to run the football, you try to keep possessions away from Tua. Marcus, because you got to be explosive.
Bro, you misconstrue this every time I talk about it. You misconstrue it. I'm not telling them not to be explosive. What I'm saying, Dan, is
dinking and dunking.
Listen to what I'm saying and then rebut. When I say dinking and dunking, I'm talking about when it's available to you to create your opportunities to be explosive. We know Vic Fangio's demand, what he likes to do. He's trying to make you take those plays, those easy plays, and bait you into thinking that you can go and go deep on this football team. That's his MO since he's been a defense coordinator. The only way you loosen that up, the teams that have had success against Vic Fangio, is to force him to bring somebody down, force him to play a different type of defense, because he knows that his offense is going to put points on the board, and he's going to try to play it safe. Take what he gives you until your opportunities present themselves.
They don't give you anything. That's part of the fabric of his defense. You have to play action them, and you have to create explosive plays. It ain't going to be because of James Cook.
And what they got to do is, if I'm the defense of Miami, I want you to press. I don't think you should give Stephon Diggs an open. And the Miami Dolphins aren't pressing. They're like the third lowest. They were the seventh highest a year ago. What the Buffalo Bills want to do is they want to get Stephon Diggs involved. Otherwise, he'll be on the sideline. There'll be beef going on. It'll create turmoil. You got to press him. Don't let him just run hitches and slants. They sent pressure at Allen in the wild card game, and he had a bunch of big plays to Stephon Diggs. Take him away. That's the head that you cut off of the Buffalo Bills for me, because it'll create a bunch of other problems.
And that also plays into kind of what I think that – I think this team should be the best play-action team in the NFL. And I think when you believe in that, your guys don't get hit a lot at the line of scrimmage, because you can motion them a little bit, you can stack them a little bit, and you get some of those big play action. It gives time for Steph to win on some of those routes. I just think for them to win this game, 15 play action passes.
Dan's watch was going off telling him to breathe over there.
This man.
Got him all stressed out.
It's relax, okay. Bud.
I will say, playing. That's going to be a great game either way. We'll see you tomorrow at NFL Live. Actually, Dan and I are going to London. But anyway, we'll see you soon.
This man said dink and dunk.